Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Be prepared. Don't be caught off guard. That's what history has taught us as a nation, and we've learned the lesson well. We are determined that 9/11 will not happen again. We can't afford to be complacent, even now with the coronavirus. Neither can we afford to be complacent in spiritual matters and push the things of eternal value out on the edge of life. If Satan finds out, like the disciples, asleep, he will rob us of everything. Rob us of everything that gives purpose to life and promise for the life to come. Failure to seize the danger and to be prepared for it leads to a person's spiritual bankruptcy and ruin. Tonight we go to a place called Gethsemane. It's a place where Jesus often went and gathered with his disciples to find rest and strength in communion with his heavenly Father. But this night there will be no rest. Here Jesus is wrestling with God in prayer, even while he wrestles with the tempter's power. In his humanity, Jesus seeks the presence and comfort of his disciples. However, he wants them to be present, not just for himself, but to prepare them for what they too must face. Watch and pray, he says, that you may not enter into temptation. He wants them to find the strength for what lies ahead. This night, there's no time for spiritual complacency for us either. So this night, let's hear how Jesus deals with his sleeping disciples so that he deals with us, to rouse us up from any and all spiritual complacency. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is so sorrowful, even to death. Remain here with me and watch." And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, he asked, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Two more times Jesus would come and find the same thing, the disciples sleeping. Notice that Jesus addressed Peter specifically. Peter had boasted that he would not fall away. He, above all, should not have been sleeping. Last week, we saw that Peter's boast wasn't based on faith, but on pride, on confidence, and overconfidence in his own resolve. Well, if he was going to keep himself from falling, he certainly should have been watchful, should have been alert and ready for anything. But this week, Peter adds to his overconfidence as being foolish. Peter is oblivious to the threats that might be out there. no real danger, he's thinking, could be coming, not at this hour. And temptation? That hasn't crossed Peter's mind at all. Temptation? Temptation to what? Yet by his conduct in the next few hours, Peter would demonstrate the folly of his overconfidence, his pride, and complacency. Peter and all the sleeping disciples reflect our own state and conduct on many occasions. Tonight we say, it's Jesus, Peter, and me, and it's all about complacency. So we too, we need Jesus, and we need Jesus' warning. He says, watch and pray, and it's all about complacency. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. You know, we often feel or get comfortable in earthly things, and we put them first in our life. They become on the top of priorities. Failure to watch and to pray happens not in an instant. It happens gradually and slowly. When we leave God out of our thinking, planning, and living, we ignore His divine and loving will. Jesus' message is to wake us up from our spiritual drowsiness, lest you sleep and sleep of spiritual and eternal death. The suffering at Gethsemane, climaxing at the cross, is deeply personal for each one of us. How important that we are wide awake. We need to be wide awake, for only here can we actually lift up our eyes in hope. Here the sin of every man, woman, and child of all time, the sin of our past, present, and future is taken from us, and it's piled on Jesus Christ. With the sin goes the guilt. And we've all experienced guilt in some way or another on the things that we have sinned about. The punishment and the hell of every being who lived, who is living, who will live, it's all about Christ. It is all about Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's the gospel. That is the gospel. This is the gospel. It should wake us up, our eyes brightened. It moves you. It should move you to pray, for now you can, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace in time of need. No more complacency when you're awake to your sin. Did you hear that? No more complacency when you are awake to your sin. No more complacency when you see that in the agony of the garden, the suffering on the cross, and the victory of Easter is all for you. It's all for you. This is a great, monumental miracle. It takes away your sin. It bridges the gulf between you and God. It puts God at the center. Not over here, but in the center of your thinking, planning, and living. It makes heaven your home. And it snaps us out of any spiritual sleep or complacency to spiritual vigor and earnestness and eagerness. This, my friends, is the story of Jesus, Peter, and each of us. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.